Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Thank you picking up Rob's bad habits.
Hey, I had a promise to keep, so I had to make sure I kept my promise.
Hey, it's all good.
Better
all
late
good.
Than never.
That's true.
Hey,
gentlemen, again, welcome to you're Tom Coughlin late, though. That's the problem, JQ.
What are you doing on stage representing the Detroit Pistons tonight, man? That's a lot.
You know that shit didn't happen.
He looked just like Rip Hamilton. I'm like, man, is that JQ? That's why he's late. Maybe he's tricking us all, man.
See?
That's funny.
When I get on the Zoom meeting, you'll understand why. Because I keep my promises. So y'all just keep going talking bad about me. You find out.
No one's talking junk. It's not a bad thing. It's just like, oh my God, he looks just like JQ. Were you thinking the same thing, Rob?
It's funny. Yeah. I thought the exact same thing. I didn't text it, but I was like, this is
man. It's pretty funny. So again, we wanted to show.
You got that mid-range game like Rip Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
Look at that.
He was gonna wear a Warriors. Okay. You know what? I give you some props, man. And he got this.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Nice sneaker.
Okay. So I was trying to find it because I got here late. So y'all get off me. I was trying to fulfill my promise from last week. I told you I would put my Nick the Quick on for you since I gave you a hard time last week. There you go. You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. You know, so you're at the doghouse for now, man. I appreciate that, man. So it's good stuff, too. Man.
Nick
so,
the Quick.
I love it. That's
I thought that was a Rick Barry jersey, man.
No, baby. Nick the Quick, baby, got my Van Exel jersey.
That's good stuff. Elvin
Adams.
Pull back to Cincinnati, man. That's good stuff, man. Hey, we're excited about another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man. The month of May is just flying by. Obviously, rookie mini camps are over. We got to talk some NBA basketball. Let's check in with the fellas as always. JQ, I am going to start with you. And you know that I wasn't talking junk. It was just hilarious because you know we like to keep the juices flowing, if you will. Too. So how you feeling this evening?
Don't let him backtrack.
Listen, I have been called so many different people. You have no idea. I told you I've been Tupac. I've been Darius Rucker. I've been Tiki Barber. Like, I've been all the short, dark-skinned, bald-headed black dudes that you can imagine. So Rip Hamilton is a new one. That's a new one on me. I got to go back and look that up to see what he looked like when he came out tonight. I've never been called Rip Hamilton, but I've been given a whole lot of comparisons. So I'm not surprised by it.
That's the closest one I've seen, Rip Hamilton tonight. That was pretty.
Yeah,
just
based upon
tonight,
I was like, man, it was fun. Now, again, you know, I'm sure all of us have had this story of, you know, some people, they just, you look like this. Like, come on, man. You know that I look nothing like that dude, man. So, you know, it's just funny how I get, you know, a lot of looks, too, because I was in a Michael B. Jordan, Warren G. phase. Everyone's coming, you know, all that kind of stuff. Back in the day, man. So,
not Warren G.
You know, it was like, Warren G., Warren Strickland? You know?
And I was,
you know,
told what I look like Smokey Robinson.
Hey. Oh, we all look like that.
Yeah, whoever was telling you, you look like Smokey
Robinson. The dude that played Ron in a different world.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see Ron in a different world. I can see that. That's pretty funny, man.
Look at JQ.
Come on.
That's pretty good. Rock a different world is classic.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
That's funny. Wow.
Gary
man.
Curtis.
Oh,
like ripped all
his hair off? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
He called Cheryl. Yeah.
That was your twin tonight, JQ.
Curtis said, Rob, if anybody told you you had a face for the internet, you'd be right.
Well, the good
I
thing is,
tonight.
I'm streaming video on the internet this way, so they like my bar's good looks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They do.
Boyish good.
Oh, no.
Like 40,
I
love it.
45 clicks for
Rick, me. Rick does look like me. To call his hair off? Oh, my goodness. Wow.
But see, you see, JQ, what we're talking about, it wasn't the knock, JQ, by any means. It was just funny because I was like, man, just that first glance. I'm like, man, that guy very much.
But Rick has always had like the braids and whatnot. I didn't know he had went bald. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I can't knock that one. That's pretty good.
I was like, man. So, again, please don't. I know we've all been called, man, Lord have mercy. Like,
I didn't think personally. That was just a new one on me. So I didn't know he cut all his hair off. Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, good stuff. Hey,
that's got a master of mid-range game like Rip A.
Yeah, man. He was a master of mid-range for sure, man. So. Gentlemen, before we keep going off, we're going to get this party started. Again, I was going to check in with you real quick and see how you're doing, JQ. But I don't know. Do we kind of spend like 20 minutes?
No, I'm good. No, I'm good. I was driving, right, because I had to go to do something. I was going to go watch the Boston, Miami first half. And I was on the phone in my car, and I thought I was like, Chris Hamilton, that's a new one on me. But I'm used to Rip with the braids, right, and everything like that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So when I just came here and Googled it, I was like, yeah, well, I guess I can't really say a whole lot about that one, man. So.
Yeah, he has your look, too, whenever he got the pick there, like the second pick, he's like, yeah, man, that was hilarious. It was like straight up the same expressions too. Hey,
yeah,
Rob, how you feel?
They dropped in a lot of it. They were targeted at the number two spot, but they dropped to number five.
To number five, yeah.
Oh.
He wouldn't be happy.
Mm-hmm.
He had to look. He's like, nah, man. Good stuff. Rob, you feeling good, man, this evening?
Yeah, feeling good, man. You know, I got that asparagus in my life today. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, we're
going to. Got it with some salmon for lunch, some cod for dinner, you know. Doing good.
I don't even know who
for dinner?
Asparagus
nice.
Company.
Huh?
Yeah. I mean.
So you said
tofu
for dinner?
No, cod. Cod and asparagus.
Oh, God. Okay. I thought you said Thai. That's what I was like, oh, I go down.
I love Thai food, though. I definitely love Thai food. I had some in New Orleans on Saturday night. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. This guy. Curtis, Gary, you guys all right?
We're all right. Let's get this party started.
Oh, here we go. Call the show.
Hey, Gary and Curtis said we lollygagging over here.
Yeah, we are. We are. 424-243-9519 the show. Call us in. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12 THMAN Sports. And check us out on Facebook. Don't forget Facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12 men. Gentlemen, we got a lot of things to talk about. We're obviously in the thick of the NBA here, some conference finals here, and we're going to talk about some predictions, and it's funny because just initially, whenever I first was thinking of everything, I was initially picking the Celtics and the Warriors, right? So this is only because, you know, before the game had been played, and so now you're watching the game, it's still a long series, obviously, and I was picking the Celtics because, obviously, the Celtics played a great game, and, you know, knocking out, obviously, Giannis, and obviously depleted, you know, Bucks team, but still, you know, Jason Tatum was playing out of his mind, whatnot. And then, you know, if you talk about what's happening with the Warriors, you know, obviously going through the up and hill battles, but they're still battle tested. So that's kind of what I was thinking. But I would not be shocked if it was a Heat Mavericks final either, too, because it's just crazy as far as, you know, we're going to talk about the five best, you know, Luka's playing out of his mind. Jimmy Butler is just, you know, obviously the Heat are the number one seed, but, you know, obviously it's a very competitive situation. So, like I said, before the game is played, that's kind of what I picked, only because of, you know, obviously Warriors had the champion pedigree and, you know, obviously the Celtics knocking off the Bucks. But, again, I think it could technically go anyway, but that's kind of what I'm picking for my first, if you will, just the first straight up out the gate, if you will, too. So I'll let you go, JQ, and then Rob, and then Ron, if you will, too. So go ahead.
I had Warriors Celtics, too. The way the it's hard to pick against the Warriors when you have Poole and Curry and Klay Thompson shooting the way they're shooting. So I still feel like, you know, it got real personal in that Phoenix-style series.
Absolutely.
It got real personal. Like, I thought the Memphis-Golden State series got personal, but it got way personal with Luka and Booker in that series. And that game seven, I just did not see Phoenix not showing up at all, you know, in the way they didn't show up in that first half. And that set the tone for it. But I still give the Warriors the nod because they are battle-tested, right? Everybody on that team outside of, you know, the younger guys like who we talked about, Kuminga and whatnot, haven't been there yet. But they've got solid veterans in Draymond and Curry and Thompson to bring them along. And they've had to have some battles along the way, right? That Memphis team is a really good team. They were the 2 seed, right?
They
play really good defense. They play a lot, that grit and grind. They just keep finding a way to get that grit and grind going in Memphis through all these years. They keep adopting the same kind of philosophy. So they gave, and I think that was good for Golden State, right, to get that a little earlier in the playoffs to get them ready for this. I just don't know if Dallas can continue to do what they did against Phoenix, against Golden State. I think Golden State just has that pedigree. They understand what it takes to get to it. Sometimes it's like Golden State just messes around because they get bored. And they're like, okay, we got to tighten up. And then they go ahead and find a way to win. But I'd be shocked. I'd be more shocked if Dallas beat Golden State. Now, if you talk about the Miami-Boston side, you talk about Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. They have a culture of playing defense and the commitment to winning. They know what to do. You see what's happening tonight. But I didn't expect Boston necessarily to go into Miami and win game one. They came off of, you know, they come off of two highs, sweeping Brooklyn and then getting that win in game seven. Like, it's hard. It's hard for us as regular dudes to say, how can't you get up for every game? But emotionally, you get a little spent, I feel like, sometimes. And Miami kind of just went away from Philadelphia in that game. They got a chance to refocus and chill out. The score looks different in that last game against Milwaukee. That was a really hard-fought series. I'm not overly surprised that Boston came out a tad bit flat on the road in Miami when Miami's waiting for them. So I still feel like, you know, as much as I hate Boston, without having Horford and Marcus Smart for this game, it's a big detriment. You're seeing it happen right now. They got to have those two guys. We texted with each other about how crazy Horford went in that, you know, in a couple of games against Milwaukee. Marcus Smart was just he's always defensive spark plug for that Boston team. So not having him out there really changed a whole lot for that Boston team. So I'm not overly surprised they lost tonight, given that they didn't have those two guys. But I still feel like Boston could win this in game seven. And I fully expect Golden State to win this in six. That's me. I feel like it's going to be Golden State in Boston. Sucks for them because that's a whole lot of flying cross country for them in the NBA Finals. I wouldn't
like
be surprised if Miami
Celtics
won. I'm
back
picking
in the
Boston. Exactly.
Yeah.
Feels like if they get, I put with a caveat, Horford and Marcus Smart have to come back and play in game two and be able to be the same guys they were in the Milwaukee series. They can't go back to Boston down 0-2. So we'll see what happens with that. But from the Western Conference side, I really feel like Golden State is going back to the finals.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. You know, obviously, you all know how I feel about Golden State. I don't like those dudes. But, you know, I got to give credit. I'm picking them, too, and I think six is a good measure as well. I think they win that series in six games. Just as JQ mentioned, they're battle-tested. They've been there before, especially when you look at their big three in Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and you add Poole and Wiggins to the mix. I tell you what, those fans in San Francisco better not mess with Luka. because that's what the Phoenix fans started messing with him, and man, that just woke him up, and he just couldn't stop him.
Poke the bear.
If those fans in San Francisco were smart, leave Luka alone, because that dude is serious. He's the best player left in the playoffs, that's for sure. I know Andre went to his top five there. He's definitely the best player left in the playoffs, but I think overall Golden State has a better team and will prevail in the end. I mean, you look at Dallas, second and third best player. You got Brunson as the second best player. Dinwiddie is the third best player. You know, that's not going to match up with Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. I mean, they were able to, you know, even in that first series with the Pelicans and the Suns, I kept saying, you know, why are we not running double teams at Chris Paul? And Dallas did it, and, man, it just totally took Chris Paul out of his game. And it just messed up the whole flow of their offense. And, you got to give Jason Kidd a lot of credit for what he did defensively in those last couple of games against Chris Paul and just totally turned that series. I mean, they won four out of the last five games in that series. I mean, they were down 2-0. So,
he had a quad
A tremendous coaching job by Jason Kidd. Then, of course, Luka, you got to give him a lot of credit. Now, we look at this series right here. This one's been a tough one for me to pick, Boston and Miami. I think these two teams are definitely even matching. I think the series can go either way. I don't think Miami has any two athletes as good as Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. That being said, I think Miami's got more depth on their team than Boston has. Even though Boston got some good depth too, though, especially if you get Marcus Smart and Al Horford back too. I see Miami winning this series in seven games. I think their culture, Eric Spoelstra, I think they're going to just slightly get by here in the series. I think these two teams are extremely even matched. It's going to be a physical series. Both teams play outstanding mother-in-law defense. They're going to get in your grill. They're going to get in your face. They're going to ask you why you did this, why you did that. So they're going to be serious in this series here. But I'm going to give Miami the slightest of edge to pull this one out. But like I said, I don't think they have two dudes as athletically gifted as Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Then when you look at the top five, I already said Luka number one. I got Jason Tatum number two.
Man, that was my topic, bro. You didn't even talk to Karis and Gary yet. Come on, man. It's all good.
Oh, I thought you did it already.
Since I'm going at it, I might as well finish.
I got Jason Tatum number two. I got Steph Curry number three. And I got Jimmy Butler number four. And I actually got Klay Thompson number five, even though Jaylen Brown and Bam Adebayo is honorable mention. But I got Klay Thompson number five.
3-point line, and they were hidden in both Game 7, and the other team wasn't. So that 3-point line is making a big difference in the NBA. Easier than that. When the mind team is hidden, there's not, and the other team does not. That's allowed.
Well, what I would say is in Dallas in the last series, Luka was the best player in that series. By a pretty good margin. I don't think he's the best player in this next series. because I think that Steph is the playoff player in this next series. And I think that he's going to show it in this next series. A couple weeks ago, I picked these two. I picked Miami and Golden State, and I'm sticking with that. I don't think it'll go seven. I think it'll probably go six in this series, but it'll be in the Eastern Conference. But I think it'll be a very hard-fought six games. And I don't think Miami will even be ready for Golden State. I think Golden State is going to get another ring, and it wouldn't surprise me in the finals for it to be a five-game series.
Oh, wow.
Marcy,
I don't disagree with that
right now. Yeah, we're
what's that?
I don't.
Yeah, go ahead, Garrett. Go ahead first. Go ahead, Tricky.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's what I was saying. Like, I hear everybody talking about it, about Luka, and don't get me wrong, but the disrespect to Steph Curry, and I get it. He's not playing as great as he can play yet in this playoff series. But you're talking about, dude, that's what? How many MVPs he got? What, two MVPs? He was a unanimous MVP. And we all know he's probably the greatest
he won
ever
the finals
in
MVP yet.
And nobody gives a damn about that finals MVP shit. He got three rings, two regular season MVPs.
I do.
He's the greatest shooter we've ever seen. Come on, man. Listen. I'll give Luka the credit if he does it. But you just talked about Luka and Spencer Dinwiddie and Jalen Brunson are not going to be, I don't think they're going to be all that competitive with Clay, Steph, Draymond, and Poole. And you can just throw Wiggins in. I was going to keep him out of it.
I predicted the Warriors to win too. But you know, you gotta really pay attention to Steph Curry in the playoffs. Steph Curry, I agree with you, the best shooter of all time. There's no question about it. But when you look at his stats in the playoffs, when the games become a lot more physical and defensive-minded and half-court-minded, still a very good ball player. But his stats doesn't measure up to his stats in the regular season. And if you look real closely, even in the finals, the year Cleveland beat him, Steph Curry really didn't show up in that series. I mean, they were real physical with him. And, I still think Golden State's going to beat Dallas. No doubt about it, and I agree with you all. I think they're going to be a legitimate team to win the finals, to win the whole thing too if they stay healthy. But he has not – his stats, he has not lived up to his regular season stature in the playoffs if you really go do a deep dive in it. And all the times they were in the finals, I mean, one year, Iguodala was MVP.
He should have won it that year, though. He should have won it that year.
I don't think he should have won it that year.
I do.
Disagree.
Okay, that's fine. We can agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. He should have won it that year, to me.
But, you know, I agree. Like I said, he's the best shooter of all time. He's still been good, but he has just not been as good in the playoffs compared to what he's done in the regular season.
But the other piece about that is that he is –
but what I still want
him
on my
so
team,
much
yes.
attention, though. Yes, you 100% want him on your team. And he attracts so much attention. I give you that. His playoff numbers tick a little slightly lower than his regular season numbers. But that dude, man, just to say that Luka's the best player left in there when Steph Curry is still alive in his playoff space, I mean, Luka's going to have to get an MVP and a ring and some other things in order for me to make that statement. As it stands now, and the way that, you know, I feel like he's building up. I feel like him and Clay have both been building up in terms of what's been happening. I just can't say that Luka's better than Steph as the best player left in the playoffs. That's just me. And I'm not –
well,
I mean, I got it all from my man.
With this conversation in this series, Luka may be the third best player.
Mm.
Out there, you may have the first two best players on Golden State in this series, the Splash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I feel about Clay.
Man. Y'all.
I'm like watching.
Luka is the best player in these playoffs right now. This dude, he's rebounding the ball.
Yeah, right.
He's scoring.
And I'll
the
agree
ball,
with that right now. But guess what? This is when that team from Golden State, unfortunately, because I don't like them either, and they've destroyed my team. But this is when they separate themselves.
Golden State gear.
And that's what they're going to do in that series. They're going to make a statement, and they're going to be resting up and just waiting, mm-hmm. licking their chops for that team from the East to come in.
And the other thing about it, Draymond
Houston. I don't think
Houston,
we disagree on who wins the series. I think we just disagree on who we think the best player is. I think we all agree that Golden State's going to win the series. But I think we just disagree
Mikal
on
Bridges,
who the best
Mikal
player
Mikal Bridges is too light in the ass to guard Luka. And
Draymond may guard
my dude, my dude from Marquette is too old to guard Luka. I want to see what Luka does in 4 or 5 6 games with Draymond being the primary defender on him, because you know that's what's happening. And then if he does that to Draymond, I will get on here next week and a week after that as the series goes and say, you know what, Rob, you were right. But he's getting dudes that can't physically man up to him. Draymond is a whole different ball game to man up to.
Draymond
can
do what Draymond does best. Draymond is going to frustrate the hell out of him.
Habitual line.
Oh, he seems like he thrives off of that kind of stuff. As you saw,
yeah.
He seems like he thrives off of that.
That's not Draymond. That's not Draymond.
He can bang on those dudes. Those dudes are too small for him. I think they're too small for him. And what's my dude's name? Crowder. Marquette. He falls a step. He falls 3 steps. Because he let Luka go by and dunk him. I said, Crowder, you can't let him just take you off the bounce and dunk on you. That's how I knew Crowder was done. As the 3-and-D dude that we thought that he was a couple years ago, that he was a couple years ago. Because Luka gave him 1 step and was fine. He's not going to be able to do that to Draymond.
Yep. Mm-mm. Yep. We'll see. Like I said, too, they may throw different ones. They may throw Kuminga at him. I don't really know what they're going to do, man. But I agree with you guys. It's going to be, like
Kuminga
said,
too light in the ass. We're not, Draymond.
Kuminga ain't going to very stop.
He is too light. What I'm saying is, they're going to throw things at him, but Draymond's going to be the primary guy, too. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm not saying that.
Curtis, what did you want to say?
I said if NBA has the first surprises so far in the postseason, so it's harder anything else but Golden State because of I think they got a lot of proof that they're going to make the people that left them.
Wish they would have stayed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I agree.
Sure. So. Let's talk.
That's a motivation. And Green, I think he's going to put a little defense on
Luka.
Luka.
Yep.
That's going to slow him down.
All right.
Nice. Let's talk about this. Now, I'm curious, gentlemen, what happened to the Phoenix Suns? You talk about an implosion that happened, and you know, obviously, it seems things are worse than what we expected. And I was watching, me and Marcy were watching The Last Dance last night. They were just crazy how we just ended up just catching this again. And they're talking about Game 7. He's like, you know, Game 7, you know, you pretty much throw everything, because whoever wants it the most is going to win Game 7s. And it just looked like Phoenix did not want to win Game 7. Obviously, you're right about poking the bear with Luka. And but the Suns have a lot of problems. You know, we thought they were, you know, winning covers up like a lot of things. But then you saw what happened. Booker didn't play. You know, CP was hurt. If you think about that, DeAndre Ayton talking about, you know, I don't want to play. You know, on the bench. And you talk about all these different situations that happened. And then you had this team like the Mavs just destroyed them, just kind of put them out to pasture. So. JQ, you got your hand raised up, man. Is that what that is, man? Go ahead, man. Take this one.
I say this to y'all, and I really firmly believe it. It's tough when your best players are 6 foot, 6 foot one, 6 foot two, 6 foot three, and they top out at 6 foot three, 6 foot. Luka's a big dude. If that jump shot isn't falling, he can get in the lane. He can rattle dudes off of him. He can get to the rim. He can get to the free throw line. He can have defense collapse and he can shoot it. He can kick it out to those shooters. And when they hit it, you see what happens with Dinwiddie and the Bronson and them. Phoenix, your best two players are 6 foot Chris Paul and a 6 foot three Devin Booker. And if they don't get it going with that arc and rainbow, you know, mid-range shot, because they're going to get collapsed down in the defense, they just aren't physically imposing. DeAndre Ayton, listen, he did. He played soft. He played soft. He had spurts where you're like, damn, Ayton, why can't you do this all the time? Then he goes back to being Bahamas Ayton, and he's super soft, and he just wants to chill out on the beach and be cool and let those other two small dudes do it for him. You have to have a dude that is 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", that can handle the ball, can get his own shot, can make the defense collapse on him, and then kick it out. When you have small dudes, like I told you, Isaiah Thomas and Steph Curry, to me, are the two small guys that you really had to fear that can go win your team a championship. Not everybody is built to do that. And I feel like, you know, in a regular season where you're playing three games in 4 nights, 4 games in 5 nights, and you can get you a Detroit, you know what I'm saying, and a Sacramento and the Lakers, the way they were playing 3 games in 4 nights, you can beat them, you can pad that win total and make it look better. When you have to play a team, you know, for 7 games, get 4 out of those 7, and your best two players are small, and the other team's best player is a big guy or a medium-range guy, it's tough, and it changes the whole dynamic. And I think that's really what Phoenix's problem is. They don't have that dynamic, like you talk about with Boston. You have a Jaylen Brown and a Jason Tatum. You got long wings that can go get their own shots, play defense, and get to the rim. And that's where they're causing so many teams havoc, and that's why they made it to the finals in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. I think that's really Phoenix's problem. They have to go get somebody that's a little bit bigger. You know, even if you move Book to the one, you say, Chris Paul, we love you. He's 37. And once you hit 37, you suck. Right? Those 5 games when he was 37, he was terrible. Right? Yeah, if you move Book terrible. To the one and you find you a bigger wing, and you keep Ayton or whatever you do, they just have to find that 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", guy that can impose as well. And they're hard to find. Don't get me wrong. You're going to have to swing a trade, and maybe you do a sign and trade with Ayton and go get somebody. But to me, that's Phoenix's problem. That's why I raised my hand, is that they don't have a big enough dude to be able to impose his will on the game. You want that to be Ayton, but he's not that dude. He doesn't have that mindset to go impose his will on another team.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've been saying about basketball, both on the college level and the NBA level here of late, probably the last 5 to 10 years, is just like with football, you got to be able to stop the run and you got to be able to run the football. And basketball has become a game where you have to be able to shoot the three and you have to be able to defend the three. J.J. Redick, I heard him give some interesting analysis on the Phoenix Suns. And, you know, I saw a lot of that in the first series against the Pelicans, too. And they're not really a great three-point shooting team. They don't get to the free throw line enough, and they don't get enough layups and dunks. And those are the three areas where, from a scoring perspective, you have to be good at now in basketball. You have to have guys that can get you a lot of layups and dunks and get to the basket. You have to get to the free throw line. Phoenix is horrible with drawing fouls. So they don't get enough free points as far as getting to the free throw line. And even though Booker is a great three-point shooter, they're not a great three-point shooting team. They're a great mid-range team, which you're not going to be successful from a winning championship standpoint. So I thought he was spot on in that analysis. But then, like I said, you have to be able to hit the three, and you got to be able to defend the three. And that's what makes Golden State so dangerous. I mean, they have so many guys that can shoot it. And they have some pretty good guys that can fend it, too, because Andrew Wiggins, you know, is the guy we haven't even mentioned. And he's been a heck of a defender for the Warriors this season, too. So, his length and his athleticism, you know, got him in an all-star game this year. So he's a tremendous defender as well, and we haven't even mentioned his name. So those are key things. And you see that in this Miami-Boston team. I mean, they got guys that can shoot it, but they also got guys that can defend out on that perimeter, too. And you have to have guys like that in order to be successful.
And I agree. I'm sorry, real quick. I agree with that. But Golden State is on such another level of being able to shoot the three that it's hard to compare other teams to them in terms of their ability to shoot the three ball, right? Because they've got Klay and Steph, who are probably the best two shooters we've seen in a while. And then you get Poole to get go with them, and they go nuts. But you talk about Miami to your point. If Hero and Duncan them aren't hitting it, you can give the ball to Jimmy Butler at 6'6", 6'7", and he can get down on that block and not fall in love with that three-point shot and get physical in that lane and go to the rim and get other teams in foul trouble and then collapse. And now these three-point shots that might have been a little more contested, he's collapsing the defense and he's kicking it out and getting another swing pass, and then that dude is wide open. And that's why I say that about having somebody that can be physical at 6'6", 6'7", and be able to get to the rim to win. Sometimes, listen, outside of Golden State, because they're just a whole other phenomenon, sometimes the three balls just don't fall. And you got to find another way to win basketball games. You have to find that dude that can get into the paint, get to the rim, like you said, draw those fouls, and if he isn't, he collapses defense and he kicks it. And I think that's the Spencer's problem. They want Ayton to be that guy, but he's just too mild-mannered, man. And he should be that dude. He should be that dude that says, you know what, these three balls ain't falling. Big man, get on the right block. Here it is. And then make them either barbecue chicken with somebody smaller than you, or if they collapse on you, then you kick it out. Now we're shooting wide open three-point shots and not contested three-point shots. And they feel like Ayton is that guy, but he just isn't. You got that in the topics. Once him and Monty got into it and he benched them, I mean, they were already done. Don't get me wrong. But then they were super done. And the good thing about Phoenix is he's a restricted free agent, so they can match whatever somebody else throws at him. But you can't give him that money yet. You know what I'm saying? Because he's just not that dude. I just don't know if he'll ever be that guy. He just doesn't have that temperament to go say, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's got the size to do it. But up here, to just go bang on people?
No, you're right. He's not nasty enough. And with
there's
that kind
just
of
not
size,
that many players like that
good.
In the league. You know, there's not that many guys like that in the league. What you described is every team that was on the outside looking in would love to have that guy, that 6'6 guy that's willing to sacrifice and is able to, you know, contribute in a, you know, in somewhat of a role on the offensive end. And man, those are hard guys to come by. That's the hardest, you know. So who do they go get? What do they do? Who's out there that they could go realistically go get? And what would they have to give up for something like that?
Well, if he could have made a big difference in Milwaukee to win that
series.
And I'm sure Milwaukee fans are thinking about that. Middleton never got hurt. They had a bad chance of defending the NBA championship. And that's a little bit what Gary is talking about.
Gotta have those guys
tell you what, he's playing in Boston. Remember early on, we were like, what's wrong with Boston? What's wrong with Boston? They were talking about breaking up Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yep.
You talk about Andre. I know he's root for Golden State, but he would have been perfect for Atlanta. A 6'6 guy that was looking to be a part of the star because Atlanta has the same problem. Trae Young is too small to be able to take over in the playoffs. And I think Phoenix has the same problem, right? So you're right. There's not a lot of them. There's like maybe a Kawhi, if you can pry him out of L.A. I think the ship is now sailed on getting Jaylen Brown and Boston off of this run. They're going to say, you know what, we've seen what they can do when they lock in, so now you can't have it. But there was a time, remember we talked about a couple of months ago, there was a time where we were like, what's wrong with Boston? And Jaylen Brown was readily available, and nobody made a move to go get him. So, I mean, you're right. There's not a whole lot of them out there, and I agree. But the teams that I think that we look at that come up short and the ones that advance, we talk bad about and not own it, Chris Middleton. I said, why the hell would you give Chris Middleton that kind of money? Last year, Chris Middleton's what, 6'8"? 6'9", somewhere in there. Can get his own shot, can shoot the three, can play defense a little bit. He's 6'7".
Mm-hmm.
But he can play a little defense. He can shoot the three ball. So if that they build that wall around Giannis, he was the dude you could kick out to if Drew Holiday couldn't get in the middle of the lane. Chris could get in the lane at 6'7", 6'8". So I'm saying you have to have that guy
that
can do that.
Is that tall? Is that tall? I thought he was like 6'5". Ooh. Actually, 6'7"? Chris Middleton?
No, Chris Middleton, 6'7".
Is that tall?
He's got about a 6'11" wingspan, too. He's got long arms.
I realized he was that tall.
No, I didn't realize that. He's tall bigger than that.
I didn't realize he was that tall.
You're right.
Wow.
And those dudes don't grow on trees, and it's hard to get them. But the dudes that are winning outside, I think Golden State is an anomaly because they just have ridiculous shooting that any team would love to have. But if you take them and put them on a different level and say, okay, everybody else, y'all play how most everybody else would have to play, like you have to have that guy. And it shows up to me that you have those pieces. You know, LeBron was in the bubble, but guess who else was there? Miami with Jimmy Butler. Milwaukee went through, well, you got Giannis, and you got Brooke Lopez at 7 foot, you got Chris Middleton at 6'7". Like, you got to have a little bit of size in there to bang in the playoffs when they allow you to play more physical. And Phoenix, outside of Ayton, is small. Atlanta, with Trae Young, is small. Your Trailblazers, why wasn't necessarily working. Love Dame and CJ, but 6 foot, 6'3", 6'4", you know, they're a little smaller. You don't have a dude that can just go get in there and not have to arc it over somebody. And it's hard to get. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's easy to get. But to me, back to the point of why Phoenix is struggling,
totally
I feel like
it.
When your two best players are 6'3 and below, you're going to struggle a little bit
when
they can shoot the ball like Clay and Steph.
When you were talking about that small forward position, you know, you described exactly my wish list for what I would love to see come in with my team. And it's just, and you want that, like, I like Butler, you know, he's got a chip on his shoulder too. He gets a little attitude. He can get nasty. And I like that. I like that kind of guy on my team. I like that.
Right.
Draymond has the same thing. Now he's going to be strapped with taking, as it stands right now, Luka is playing the best in the playoffs so far.
Yeah.
That's where Rob and I disagree is because I think that Draymond is one of those guys that can frustrate the living hell out of you. And then if you're a little frustrated and then you see, you know, those Golden State Warriors start hitting some threes and doing their little shimmy shake, you're going to start launching maybe some little just threes that are just not quite there. You're not quite set. You're not quite open. You're going to be starting to look for your shot instead of passing it off. It's these sort of things that they've done to other teams in the past that we've seen. And I hate it. It sucks. But it'll be a big task for Draymond to do that. But if he can slow him down, like what Curtis was talking about, it's going to be a fairly quick series.
Five minutes. Now, and that's funny. Gary, you brought up some good points because, you know, I think everyone's looking for that in great conversation, JQ, Rob, because, you know, we're looking for that six, you know, 6'6", 6'7" guy. You know, maybe it's Zach LaVine. I know he may be out there. You know, Wiggins, as he's making his thing, you know, like you talked about, he may be, you know, you're just kind of like looking at options because, like you said, they're like, hey, we should get back Bradley Beal. I'm like, no, Bradley Beal's the exact, he's six. No, you need somebody a little taller, you know, because, again, you don't want that same situation that you run into now where, you know, Booker, fantastic player, but then obviously, like you said, we need somebody to get a shot, get down in there and draw a foul. That Butler's that perfect size, man. He's just big enough to, you know, that dude, and plus he's a dog, too. So you need somebody that's got that extra, you know, gear in him, just like, I'm going to take it, you know, give me, you know, I'm going to break my guy down, I'm going to go to the lane, you know. Hell, freaking Jason Tatum grew. He's like 6'10", right? You look at this dude like, damn, you know, what the hell? And he's long. You know, Jaylen Brown, same thing. Long guys, man. So it's just, you know, the NBA is kind of evolving from that perspective too, right?
Yeah, I agree with that assessment too. When you look at basketball 30 years ago, it was all about, or maybe 40 years ago, it was all about you had to have a good point guard and a good center. And those were the driving forces to your win. But it's been all about dominant wings here. The athletic wings have been the difference maker. From the Michael Jordan, you know, then going to LeBron James. Obviously, you know, Shaq was dominant. Nobody can stop him. So he was, a force in the middle. But, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show last week or I was mentioning it to someone else. Even looking at the 76ers here, as good as Joel Embiid is, he doesn't have a dominant athletic – he doesn't have a true athletic wing player. You're not getting out of Harden. Yep. You're not getting out of Maxey. You're not getting out of Tobias Harris. They don't have a dominant wing, and that's what he's really missing on that team. And as
Maxey
does
it, they win.
Yeah,
when Maxey does it, he can be that guy. He's young. But when he does you're right. He takes that team to a whole other level. But he's young, and asking him to do that right now, every game in this pressure cooker is hard. But it's hard. When Maxey's up here like this,
he's still a small guard, though. He's only like about 6'3".
Yeah.
I mean, they still don't have that athletic
6'7",
6'8", wing with a 7'1" wingspan.
Right.
You know, that seems like that's what he's going to be scouts are looking for these days. Yeah, yeah.
They have one. They're not going to Miami.
Yeah. Yeah. I think and like you said, guys, I didn't realize that.
I'm gonna say something. Always bothered me in the NBA is when players check and shoot over 80% as much as they did good in a whole year. I think nobody's guarding them. And what NBA's bad.
As much as they practice, they should be able to hit that kind of range. But the thing of it is, this is what Charles Barkley said about that one time. He said on every team he was on, he would have players that in practice were just phenomenal. But they couldn't translate it from practice to the game. Under the lights with everybody in there, they couldn't do it. And he said it frustrated the hell out of him because he'd have these players that could have really helped him along the way, but they just couldn't play under the lights. And I think, Curtis, that's what happens with some of these guys at the free throw line. They may be able to hit 8 out of 10, you know, at practice, but game time, you know, running full blast, you're winded, all the lights are on, people are holding signs up, they just can't seem to focus and
spitting on
and they just can't seem to do it, and that's just called being human.
Yeah, that's basketball.
Yep.
That burns me up. In different ways, when even the guy we got was the best player in the league, the first guy I lay right now,
LeBron James.
Even best Tarasenko. I would be so disappointed. It doesn't make any sense. For a pro like that to miss Rico, it really bothers me.
We got to go on to the next topic.
Yeah, good stuff. And I guess as we kind of transition here, because if we're staying on this topic here as far as who's going to be better next season, I think we can probably all say it's going to be the Bucks, because the Bucks are getting Chris Middleton back, that's a huge situation too. And we're not knowing what's going to happen. You know, the Suns may be imploding right before our eyes, you know, so that's something that's going to happen. What's happened with Aiden until they kind of fix what's happening too. You kind of feel sorry for Monty Williams. And, you know, it doesn't matter how cool Chris Paul is, they may want to win him, you know, fundamentally, but Chris, bro, now you kind of get on the downside of your career, bro. So, you know, it's going to be it's tough.
The bottom line to that is, who's going to be better out of the Bucks and the Suns? Which one of those teams is going to have Giannis Antetokounmpo? And that's
right.
The question.
Pretty simple. It is. 200 points in the playoffs, man. That's nuts. You'd
have
been like my best, you know. Man,
we'll never know, but they could be playing still right now if they had Chris Middleton. We'll never find out.
Right.
I mean, Boston, I think still would have been a great series. But they could have possibly won this series. At Game 6 at home in Milwaukee, that's probably a different story if you got Middleton there. Because, I mean, Giannis would have 44 points in that game, and he just didn't have anybody else help him. I mean, Middleton could have been the real difference in that game for sure. And probably
Marcus Smart was giving Drew Holiday fits, and you're right. That build a wall, and then you have Chris Middleton that can get his own shot. Just stand out there and catch and shoot and fire. I agree. And I know I was not a big Middleton fan, but he proved me wrong in getting that championship. But you're right. So I agree. I don't even think it's close. You talk about the thing with DeAndre Ayton. I think if you're Phoenix, you just have to let DeAndre Ayton go out and test the market and see what other people are willing to do, and see if you will do a sign and trade and get something back for him. But you don't jump out the gate and try to re-sign him to some big deal to smooth waters over. You look and see what the market bears for him and see what happens. And that's what I would do if I was finished. They're in a good position because he's a restricted free agent. They can just sit back and wait and see what people offer him and see if they decide to match it or not.
You better not give him the
well,
match.
Well, I would definitely agree with that. You know, Middleton in the playoffs last year, you know, he was awesome. He really played his part.
What?
Did a fantastic job, and I think they could have beaten Boston in this series if they'd had him.
We'll never know.
And he would, and if he would have played like he played last year, you never know. But I think that if he played a version of himself, I think it would have been a different series. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it took him seven games without him. I mean.
Right.
You know, you need your best players in the playoffs. I mean, you need your best players
bottom
in the
line.
Playoffs. You know, there's no doubt about it. So they took him seven games. I mean, that was a testament to Giannis. I mean, he was carrying that team. I mean, really carrying that team. Yeah. So that
you
can definitely
tell he was exhausted at the end.
Absolutely.
Let's throw JQ a bone here, and we're going to talk about the LA Lakers here. And it's interesting because, you know, there's some interesting news about the coaching situation here. We're just throwing you the bone, bro. It's not like we're picking on you. We're just kind of like, you know, again, because, you know, word on the street, Mike Brown may be the guy. So we'll let you have your moment here, if you will. So I've heard a couple different reports, too. That was the one. But, yeah, talk to me. Oh, he got signed by the Kings. My bad. Carry on. My bad.
Mark Jackson.
Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to. And I'm a Lakers fan. You can just find you a hobo to coach the Lakers this year. As long as you got Russell Westbrook on that team and what he's going to do to that, I'm serious. Because if I'm an established coach, these are wins and losses that go on my resume, right? Like, I want to win. But when I get judged totally, if I'm, you know, I've coached a couple of different places, these wins and losses all add up to what my resume looks like at the end of my career. And if they're going to keep Russell Westbrook, I don't understand what's going to be different. You still got a LeBron's a year older. You've seen AD play 1 year healthy when they won the title. And then you got Russell Westbrook who can be off the ball. So what are you going to do? And he's going to opt in because nobody in the world is going to give him $47 million on the open market. So from his standpoint, of course he's opting into that contract. So unless you can convince Indiana to give you Buddy Hield and Malcolm Brogdon because they are a little injury prone and they got longer years left on those mega deals, I mean, you're somewhat swapping one problem for another. Who wants to really coach the Lakers right now? They don't have any draft picks. They don't really have any young talent. Malik Monk played well for them, you know, in stretches last year. So the kid from Oklahoma State. But they're in a tough spot. Like, I get it. You don't F those picks and you're trying to win a championship, and they got one. in 2020. But now you're sitting there on the backside of that without having any ability to infuse any good players on rookie deals. Everybody you get is going to either be an old dude on a minimum contract or someone that's willing to take a discount because you got to pay Russ, AD, and LeBron. And they're going to take up all the salary cap. So if you're a coach, I mean, unless you just want to live in L.A. and you like LeBron and AD, I mean, I can't be mad they get turned down as a Lakers fan because they're in trouble. They're in trouble. I mean, that's just what it is. Because now you say, well, you got 1 year left and you get rid of Russ. Guess what? That's one more year of mileage on LeBron. You still don't know if AD can stay healthy for a year. Still ain't got no damn picks. You got to swap with freaking New Orleans every year or every other year because of those trades. So outside of selling the city of Los Angeles, what do you have?
You're going all in, bro.
Hey, man. Come on, man. You got Carmelo Anthony, man. He's only 40 years old. Man, he got
that's
a lot of game
point.
Left, man. Yeah, man, he's one of the best defensive players of all time. Come on, man.
Best defensive players of all time. Shut up. I'm just saying. They're in trouble. I'm an honest fan. They're in trouble. They might have to bottom out again in order to bounce back.
Man
I'm
down.
Just being honest with you.
Yeah. And you know, you touched on the fact that, you know, they gave up a lot to get Anthony Davis and they're starting to pay for it right now. But, I mean, if you make that trade and you win the championship, I think any GM would do that. So they did win one championship. It's just going to take them a little while now to rebuild from, you know, I'm sure they were hoping they would have got more than one. And but as you mentioned, AD can't stay healthy. They went out to have Russell Wilson. He just, you know, just tears up any team's chemistry when he comes to your locker room. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to take a lot. For them to recover from this. And we'll see. The only good thing that they have, as you mentioned, there's still people that want to live in L.A. They're one of the historic franchises, just like the Yankees in baseball. People want to play for them. Go Yankees, by the way, man. I'm kicking ass right now. That's the only good thing that they have going for them right now is they are a historic franchise. Yeah, they could get some guys that's going to want to come there and probably that could possibly help them in the free agent market. Now, what kind of money they can offer, they're going to probably have to get some guys that come in on a mid-level exception. You know, maybe they can get two guys to come in on a mid-level exception. That's probably about all they'll be able to do this offseason.
Great.
It's crazy. Well, we have 18 seconds to the OT, so I guess we'll talk about some last topics here. I wanted you guys to kind of pick your last thing to kind of hit. Rob was kind of curious what's Drew Brees possibly. You know, that's an interesting thing here. But now's the time to get those last little topics in. But let's set it up real quick for the OT, if you will.
Drew Brees needs to sit his ass down. Sit his little ass down. His Top Gun arm can only throw the ball 15 yards. He needs to sit down and stay for his. He's not coming back to replace Jameis Winston. Come on. No. Sit your ass down. You're done. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my topic right there. But ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We always have a lot of fun. Hopefully you all enjoy listening to us on tonight. Next week, we're going to do a Thursday night special. We're going to be on Thursday night next week. We're going to be on this. It's going to be 11 p.m. for our East Coasters that's following the Miami and Celtics series. We want to hear from y'all. So it's going to be 11 p.m. in Boston and, of course, in Miami as well. The Central Time Zone, Chicago. I'm still waiting on my deep dish pizza, man. Giordano's, man. Where my pizza at? Want to hear from y'all. 10 p.m. on Thursday night next week in JQ's favorite city, Albuquerque, 9 o'clock. And in California, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, Albuquerque.
We want to hear from y'all. Next Thursday night, people.
It's just there,
we'll
King.
See you
King. Next time
you are
I go
wild,
through
dude.
There, JQ. Next time I go through there, I'm going to take a picture with Albuquerque right there, just like this. I'll be sending it out to you.
Yeah. They got
a
picture of JQ and Rip Hamilton on the side of the road. Please. In Albuquerque.
Oh, my God. goodness.
Yeah, I don't have no desire to go to Albuquerque. I am really good on that. I appreciate y'all, good people, for tuning in to the show. For sure, like Rob said, hit us up, let us know how you feel about what's going on here, so we can discuss it. My last one was, it was really hard to watch Patrick Beverly be on TV these past 2 days.
Wow. Even my wife watched it. She said, I don't like that dude.
That dude got there and was really trying to argue about James Harden getting the Supermax. He was spicy talking about CP3. You know, I think he let his feelings get involved in it because some stuff that happened way back in the day. But then he totally destroyed all the goodwill that he built up yesterday with James Harden to get a Supermax. Bro, I know that's your homeboy. I get it. Like, but come on, man. You can't say this on one day and then say this the next day. You killed all your credibility, Patrick Beverly. So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, if he's going to be there all week, but I hope after today they say, you know what, this experiment is over, because, wow, there's no way any sane, lucid GM should give James Harden a max contract or Joe Moore should give him a super max. There's no way I'm paying him $60 million when he's 37 years old. No
the
chance.
Decline
I do like
James Harden.
He likes, yeah, nah. Mm-mm. I just thought that to be amazing.
No,
it was hard to watch. It was tough. When you made JJ Redick mad, like JJ Redick was looking at him like, seriously, dude, like what? JJ Redick is pretty even keel. He had JJ Redick high. Like you can make Stephen A. Smith mad. That's easy to do. When you make JJ Redick mad, you done something.
Yeah. And James Harden, man, he needs to lose. He needs to stop eating all that food. That food getting stuck in his beard, too, man. I hope you wash that thing.
You can't go drink Alizé every night and Moet and whatever he's doing and go out there. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, eat, like you said, eat some asparagus. Eat some quinoa or whatever. Bro, you got to relax. Like, come on, bro. What are you doing?
That's funny. JQ's going off, man. Look at this. I love it. That was his spill for OT. I love it. No, but you talk about, just like you said, Russell Westbrook's going to opt back in. James Harden's going to opt back in because no one else is going to pay. You saw the decline of Harden. Just, you know, everyone's like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Somebody's got fleeced, man, you know, in that instance too, because that is not the same player. Rob said it earlier. You know, you feel for Embiid because he's not going to get that athletic wing to help him out, man. He thought it was James Harden. He even said it, man. This is the guy we thought was Houston. He is not that player anymore. So, man, you talk about stealing at this juncture, man. Harden is all on reputation right now, too, man. It's what a decline, man. Nuts. So, Curtis Gary, anything else you want to add for your last thing as we get to wrap this up?
Well, the only thing I would say is my top five for my baseball. I'm putting the Yankees this week at number one, Dodgers at number two, Mets at number three, Padres at four.
Ooh.
I'm going to put the Astros at five.
Astros on a roll right now. I think I moved them up to number three. Yeah, they've gotten hot. Milwaukee too is playing some good ball right now too.
Yeah.
The last thing I was, especially in the condition of the I didn't have a family, and I spent a lot of dollars on sports and concerts. I saw Elton John. I saw Pink Floyd. I saw Prince. I couldn't, after a while, figure out where I like most, because for me, going to sports was a whole day party. You would go out to a nice
Curtis and I are, you know, bonding every week like this. It's been an amazing journey with you guys. We really appreciate you. Want you to be safe. And Thursday, this is the first I've heard of Thursday. So next Thursday.
Surprise,
right? You're probably going to spring that on Curtis and I on Tuesday, weren't you?
We'd
be
sitting
here waiting for you guys to get on the line. Did we do something wrong here? Let me try and fix this.
No. We text about it earlier today. You guys got to read your text.
Yeah, we did say that, too, because a lot of things are shallow.
And I've got a lot of people along with me. And the only thing that I did in just me was the two Super Bowls I did. And those people.
We got to get these guys to bed. We got to tuck these guys in.
Yeah, well, like I said, yeah, it's been a long day. I'm sure we've all been going through, but appreciate you guys.
Stay safe, and we'll
we'll be back on the air, I guess, on Thursday.
Sounds like a plan. We'll see what happens.
Yes, sir.
Talk soon.
Next Thursday. I got an extra 2 days of rest. Everybody should be coming out fresh next Thursday.
That's right.
All right.
Keep it going. Be safe. Be safe.
Love you, brothers. Have a good night.
All right.
Love you. I'll see you later.
Love you guys. Be safe. Okay.